Well, we're back again, y'all. I hope you put your clocks back and got that extra hour in bed and are well rested. We're blessed today to be joined with people, friends from the States, from E3 Ministries. We'll get them to introduce themselves in a minute. We're going to have a conversation around the gospel today. But let me pray first. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this time. We thank you for every listener who's in their kitchens or sitting down listening to this. Lord, we ask that you just bless them now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Just send your Holy Spirit that opens their ears and open their eyes, that will get not only inspired but transformed by this conversation this morning. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So we're here now. Guys, do you want to introduce yourselves? From Tony, we'll start with you. Where you're from, give us a bit of background.
Yeah, I'm Tony Svensson. I'm from Houston, Texas, and I'm a strategy coordinator for E3 Partners Ministry to Ireland. And so we've been coming to Ireland for the past 5 years, working with local pastors and ministry leaders with the hope of proclaiming the gospel and making disciples in Ireland.
Very good.
Hi, I'm Terry Escalante, also from Houston, Texas. This is my second trip with E3, learning so much and proclaiming the gospel in ways that I never knew could happen, and it's just such a pleasure to be on today.
Hello there. My name is Jonathan Williams. I'm from right outside of Birmingham, Alabama, not from Houston like these other guys. I am also been working with E3 for the last several years and just glad to be here. What a beautiful country that you guys have, and just great seeing everyone and interacting with everyone. So glad to be here.
Well, we should just let you do the whole show with that voice, eh? You know? But so you're also a pastor of a church. You want to give your church a mention in Alabama?
Yeah, I work at First Baptist Church of Pelham, Alabama. I primarily work with children. I've been doing that for the last 17 years. Just actually finished up my master's degree at Liberty University as well. I have two daughters, one at the University of Alabama. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what you're supposed to say when you find somebody from Alabama. You have to say, "Roll Tide." That's the local way of cheering for our football team, who has won lots of national championships. So there you go.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
So Roll Tide, y'all.
Roll Tide. That's perfect, because tide, y'all is what we say in Alabama.
Yeah. Give it a shout. You roll tide, y'all. So anyway, we're going to have a conversation about the gospel. You know, my question for you guys this morning, is the gospel relevant today in today's generation? Whoever would like to, you know, take in turns, just answer.
Yeah, I would say the gospel has always been relevant. I think the problem we have in today's culture is a language issue in how we and what we think of the gospel. What is the gospel is the challenge for us. And I think we've lost context, and we tend to think of the gospel in terms of religiosity and traditional forms of church. And so I think we need to reclaim what the scripture declares, the purpose in which Jesus came and revealed God to us in the flesh. It wasn't so that we could follow the some of the structures that we see today. And when we think of the word church, Jesus came to establish his church. But it was more about a relationship with God and finding peace and hope in the fact that Jesus came for a purpose. He came to reveal truth to us. He came to die for our sins. We all have lost our way, and we find hope and peace in the person of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And the resurrection gives us assurance of a future hope and even of a present hope. And so I think when we think in terms of what the gospel is for us today, it's more than, again, the religiosity that we make it out to be. And so reclaiming the truth of the gospel, I think, is extremely important in getting back to God's word and what he has to say to us. He desires to be present in our life. He's not just a distant God. He's present and wants to be with us. And so the gospel is our hope to get through this day and every day that he's given us, and helps us understand our purpose, our identity, and that we are loved by God.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Jonathan? I guess as I look at it, I tend to more think in terms of of speaking with children, because that's who I primarily speak with. And a lot of kids play games, right? They play games where they automatically get, if something bad goes in the game, they just get a redo, right? They just get to start over. And that's what hope is, right? Well, we all make mistakes. We're all fallible. We all make mistakes. And the first thing we have to do is we have to admit that we all have these sins. And it's not about being perfect. It's about finding hope. It's about understanding that through this relationship with Christ, that there is hope for a future. There's hope for something different. And I agree with Tony that we've taken these words, these religious sounding words, and we've added context to them that really don't make sense anymore, right? And we've taken the word like gospel. In fact, we were just talking this morning, what does the word gospel mean? And it's simply good news. And the good news is that we have a hope that no matter how far down the road we've gone, there's always a hope for a new regeneration. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are a new creation. And it's particularly where I am in the United States. Sometimes we lose focus of hope. We lose focus of the fact that we categorize certain sins as being worse than others, but they're all equal, and we all equally have the same hope to be saved and spend eternity with Christ. So get rid of all the religion stuff and get back to what the Word of God says, and understanding that we have a hope and a future with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Have you hanged out that, Terry, or are you happy?
That's no? Right on. I agree 100%. That's where okay. I am.
So has God changed? We're here in today's culture, you know, that was written for back then. The Bible was written for back then. You know, culture has changed, you know, religion has changed, God has changed. And simple question, has God changed?
No, God hasn't changed. The Bible was written, yes, years and years ago, but it's relevant today. And a lot of people, even myself, didn't believe the word, the Bible, to be the word of God, and how it was translated and all that kind of stuff. And I'm struggling right now with my nephew that's now starting to ask questions. And so being able to be with him and pray with him and being able to speak truth to him and point him to scripture is such a blessing in itself.
You guys want to jump in on how God changed?
God hasn't changed at all. If you read the New Testament, which is the back half of the Bible, you see passages written by this gentleman named Paul. And Paul is writing to churches. He's writing to people just like us. And as you read it, and if you read it with understanding of how things work today, you go, oh, so they struggled with sexual sin? Oh, they struggled with how to spend their time? Oh, they struggled with how to spend their money? Oh, they struggled with having commitments to here and there? Oh, they struggled with people teaching wrong things? And so you read specifically the letters written by Paul, and you understand they struggled with the same things we struggled with, right? They struggled with false teaching. They struggled with sexual sin. They struggled with addiction. They struggled with sickness to such an extent that if you truly take the time to read that New Testament, you understand exactly they were struggling with the same things we are. In fact, Christ addresses it in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in his Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about these are the things that you need to be doing in life. And if you read it clearly, it addresses what we struggle with every day. So it's more relevant than ever.
Yeah, I would certainly say that God and the Scriptures and all of those things haven't changed. But we have to come to a place. I mean, I know growing up, my parents told me I was a Christian. They told me I'm supposed to believe the Bible. I didn't know what any of that meant. And so we went to church and we did the religious things, but I didn't feel any power or any transformation by it. And I thought religion was kind of a crutch. I thought it was for weak people who needed help. And so I kind of drifted away from it. And it wasn't until I began to ask some of life's difficult questions. Who am I? Is there meaning? Is there purpose in life? And I started reading the scriptures for the first time for myself. I would always just take it for granted what people had told me and all the things, how the Bible isn't relevant. Well, you don't know that until you start reading the Bible. And when you get into the Word and you start feeling the Spirit move and God speak to you in ways that you didn't think were possible, that you begin to be transformed by it. And so I think anybody who says the Bible isn't relevant probably isn't reading the Bible. And so the challenge for us is, have we sought after God? And that was, you know, the thing that transformed my life is, you know, Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. I ask God for stuff all the time. God, won't you do this? God, won't you do that? God, why am I struggling here? God, why did you do that? And I didn't feel that God was present or that he cared. And then I started actually seeking after God. So rather than just asking, I started seeking. And when I started seeking and I started getting into the Word, I felt that transformational power that I was seeking for. And I recognized that God was there with me all the time, and he loved me and he cared for me. And he brought me to that place when I knocked. I say, well, there is God. And it transformed my life. So I know it's relevant. And I see that transformation happen in people all the time. But we have to all go through that journey, that process of actually having that curiosity to open up his Word and to seek him for who he is. And he's there to reveal himself.
Amen, amen. So, I mean, would you say then, again, the topic is the human condition has changed. You refer to, you know, Paul's writing to the churches, you know, with their struggles. Has the human condition really changed that much in 2,000 years?
I don't think it has changed. In Ephesus, there was a temple to the god Armitus. And it was basically a sex god, right? And I mean, that's exactly what they had, temple prostitutes, and sexual sin was running rampant. He also talks in his epistles about people fighting and infighting and arguing over just the smallest of things we would consider petty today. So the human condition, unfortunately, has always been a struggle. It's always been difficult. And for centuries, for 2,000 years, God's Word has been pointing us in the right direction. But for whatever reason, our human nature drives us away from doing what we know is the right thing to do. So the human condition has always been one searching for the truth but not finding it. I kind of look at it this way. Imagine if you were out in the desert and all you needed was water, right? And somebody's sitting there handing you water and saying, hey, drink this water. And you go, no, it's okay. I'm gonna go somewhere else and look for water, right? What we need as a culture, what we need in around the world is for us to accept the gift that's within the Word of God and to truly, as Tony was saying, not just skim over it, but understand it and read it and accept it. Now, are there going to be hard things? Yeah. It's sometimes honestly difficult to read because it convicts you of things that you may have in your own life that maybe you don't need to be doing. But do you need it? Yes. If you're out in the desert, do you need water? Yes. And so take the time, search the scriptures, fill your spirit with the Word of life. It's how I look at it, because we're all lost. We are all in need of a Savior.
You adding to that, Tony? Or?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, you certainly could, 2,000 years, but from the very beginning, I mean, the very first story in the scriptures of Adam and Eve, God providing everything for them in a place of perfection where God is present. And they're tempted by sin. They're tempted by Satan to eat of the fruit from the knowledge of good and evil. And that original sin was Satan basically telling us that there's something better apart from God. And we face that same struggle, those same temptations today, that what the world has to offer us is better than God. And we believe that lie. And though we continue to live in pain and suffering and misery and depression and We continue to believe that lie. And so Satan is still using the same schemes that he's always used from the beginning. And we buy into that lie. And I think what we've talked about, the good news of the gospel, is it brings us back to that point of recognizing that God created us for something very different, and that in him we find, you know, peace, happiness, joy, contentment, all the things that we long for. You know, we were created for a relationship with God, and we tend to try to find it in other things. And even though all we tend to find is misery and unhappiness, we keep trying it over and over, hoping that we'll find a better way, a new way, and the way is right in front of us. And when you look to it, you'll find the person of Jesus, and he's there, and he's present, and he's inviting us to find. He wants us to have joy to the full, and that's the beauty of the promise of God, is he recognizes where we're at. He recognizes our condition. And the scriptures say that even while we are yet sinners, he came and he died for us. And so he loves us right where we're at, and he's coming and he's seeking to find us. And so all we have to do is turn, and he's right there, and he's ready to accept us.
I like Jonathan's analogy of the water in the desert. Somebody sitting there handing you the water, and you tend to, you know, do we make it too easy? Is it too easy just to go and grab the water? It can't be that easy. But in fact, it is. It's there. As you said, Tony, God wants us to turn to him. Mm. He's there, like every good father, say, you know, just come to me. But I'll leave that choice to you. How do we share the gospel in today's world? Because primarily as 3E ministry, that's what you do. E3 ministry, that's what you do. You travel from place to place, sharing the gospel, making disciples. That's following the Great Commission. You know, Jesus said, go make disciples. And do you want to share a bit about that, Tony? How you approach that, how you share the gospel with people?
Yeah, we... as a ministry, we are dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel. And so believing that we are called first and foremost to live out the gospel, God tells us that we are to love one another, we are to love our neighbor, we are to even love our enemy. And so through this living out of a loving, living in love, God tells us also to proclaim the good news of the gospel, because his love isn't simply for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever should believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so we recognize that, one, the gospel is a very simple message. It's a message that God desires for all people to hear. He desires that none should perish, and that all should come to repentance and faith. And so he commissions us, as you said, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. And so we go with an intentional pursuit of proclaiming the gospel. And so here in Ireland, we go into communities and we work with local leaders, and we train them through a simple process of what it looks like to engage people with the gospel. A lot of what we hear about the word evangelism and evangelists is typically the guy on the street corner, you know, yelling at you, telling you that you're going to go to hell. And we don't see that kind of evangelism in Scripture. We see Jesus walking around, caring for people, loving on people, feeding them, healing them. And through that living out of the gospel, he's also declaring, I am the way. And so we tend to want to relationally invest in people, show them that we love them. So we do a lot of prayer walking. We ask people if we can pray for them, ask them, you know, what kind of experience they've had with religion. And many people have had bad experiences. And we recognize that it's sometimes hard to separate the religion from what we see of God in the Scriptures. And so we want to just clarify what is the gospel. And so we've been using a tool we call 3 Circles. We draw out a little picture that it kind of expresses the fullness of the gospel, that God created us for a loving relationship, but all of us have kind of been separated from that because we've all gone our own way. We've made bad decisions, and we try to fill that emptiness with our own strength and power, and we seek inappropriate relationships and drugs and alcohol and depression and suicide and you name it. And we're all searching for hope and happiness and peace, but we can't grasp it. We can't find it. But God has revealed it to us, and that he sent his son into the world. And He revealed truth. He revealed God to us and said that he's the way. And he died on a cross. He was buried in a tomb and risen from the grave on the third day. And we tend to doubt God's love, but God has demonstrated his love to us in that he came and walked with us and said, "Here I am." And proved that he was God by power, signs, and wonders, and healing the sick, raising the dead, and walking on water, and controlling storms, and casting out demons, and all of these things. And we experienced that in time, space, and history. He walked with us. And so the testimony of all that Jesus did all here on earth, it just declares God's love to us. And so you draw that out in a picture and help people to understand God's love and that he's there to embrace us. He's not asking us to get clean to come to him. He's asking us to come to him to get clean. And so that's the good news of the gospel. And then we do that as often as we can.
You talked about suicide and addiction there. You know what I mean? It's amazing now we're in that season, you know, where we celebrate that old festival of Samhain, Halloween, and the whole lot. And I, for one, are seeing this glorification of evil, this glorification of demons, of witchcraft, of on the rise within the country amongst our, you know, the kids being drawn to it. And we know the Bible tells us the devil comes to seek and destroy. So I believe the two go hand in hand, that we turn away from God. You know, we will see, we start worshipping or, you know, glorifying this, we will see an increase of suicide, addiction, and the whole lot. Joe, Terry, have you anything to share a bit of your testimony on, you know, because unfortunately in this country, suicide has risen over 171%. I've been through that myself, and I know that God saved me. Mm-hmm. So have you anything you want to share to listeners this morning?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yeah. Growing up, I thought I was just kind of this perfect person, and I was lost, though, very, very lost, and trying to find my way. And about 16, 17 years old, my friends, and it was time to graduate high school, and my friends were going off into different states and doing their own thing and scholarships, and I had no idea what I was doing and just felt all this pressure and insecurity and just felt very abandoned. And I decided to try to take my life, and I was very mad. I started writing goodbye letters, and I took medicine to try to end my life, and God saved me. And I didn't fall asleep that night, and I remember being so angry that I was still alive. And through the process of multiple attempts, God's light has always been there. I became a believer, and someone shared the gospel with me shortly, I guess, after I was like 20, and really gave me hope, and just turned from that way of living, of being selfish and trying to find my own way. And I was just confused as to who I am. You know, what is Terry? What is she going to do with her life, her career? What is she going to make of herself? And just gave myself all in to Christ. And I was presented the gospel, and like Tony said, starting to really search and seek God. It's only when we, pursue him that we encounter him. And so I've been walking with the Lord for many years now, and depression is still very real, and I believe God's given me that gift of being able to share with others that are going through tough times or have tried suicide or thinking about it. God's used so many different examples in my life that just blows my mind. After being so broken and coming into a relationship with God has been obviously life transforming. But I'm just very, very grateful to be here and to speak the word of God, and it's true. And he hasn't left me, and there's a purpose for my life now, and it's not just about my wants and my desires. It's about following God, and yeah. So
what would you say if there's somebody listening to this conversation today? What would you say to somebody who's contemplating suicide right now? What would you say to them? What's one piece of advice you'd give to them?
The first thing I would do if you're lost is to get with someone, whether that's someone you know, or if you need to call someone if you're at that point. It's so important to be around someone else and not isolate yourself. And so that's the first thing I would say. I would pray, but you need to be with someone in that moment to be there with you.
That's good, because we tend to close up, especially the Irish culture, especially Irish male culture, where we're not, you know, I'll try and deal with this myself. And, you know, I think it's important, and you talked about it, that you still have that struggle at times, you know, with depression, that, you know, that God walks with us through the storm. He doesn't necessarily take us out of the storm, but he's with us. He's with us in the fire, you know, and Psalm 23 is a great encouragement for that. Even though I walk through the valley of darkness, it is to walk. It's not to stop and stand still, but to keep walking, knowing he's with us. Amen. Amen. Tony, just in closing, what would you like to see happen in y'all? What would you like to see God do in y'all?
Yeah, our prayer is that as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught us to pray, that God would be worship for who he truly and genuinely is, that he would be set apart, and that his kingdom would come in y'all as it is in heaven. And so recognizing that God's kingdom isn't just one day we get to go be with him, it's present. Jesus says the kingdom has come and it is here. And so as we come to proclaim the gospel, we recognize that the kingdom of God has come near, and he's made it available to anybody who desires to seek it. And so we just want people to know that God is not a distant God. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are burdened and weighed down by the world. And he said, you know, when you come to him, that he'll take that burden. He'll take that weight off of you, and you'll find peace and hope. And so our hope is that people wouldn't be so confused by all the religious jargon, and that they would understand the simple truth of God's word, of his love, grace, and mercy that he makes available to all, and that people would understand the invitation is for all of us, that there's none of us who are worthy of it, but God loves us, and he paid the ultimate price for us. And that's the good news of the gospel that we find in Jesus Christ. And so we hope that the people of y'all will experience that and understand that, you know, the Bible can be very confusing. And when you get into the Word and you begin to study it in community, ultimately we call it church. And we think you have to go to church. And we want to people to experience church in community, in relationship and fellowship with one another. And so we want to invite people to learn and study from God's Word for themselves. And that's our hope and dream for y'all.
Good. That's good. That's good. Jonathan, would you like to pray for, close us in prayer, pray for the radio station here, pray for y'all?
I would love to. And do I have one moment just to share one last little thing?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
I want you guys to think of a friend of mine. His name is Chris. Chris was the typical American, typical human, had all the money in the world he needed, had everything he needed, but was miserable. And he had been, quote unquote, raised in church his entire life. If you were to ask him 7 years ago, hey, are you a Christian? He would have said yes. But through a series of events, I got to know Chris and just started a relationship, just started talking with Chris, and just going back to how you share the gospel and what the most important way is I think it's through just our everyday lives. Chris thought he had everything in life. He had a BMW, had a nice house, had two beautiful girls, but he was miserable. And we started playing pickleball. I don't know if you guys have pickleball here or not. It's kind of it's a strange sounding game, but we started playing pickleball together. And Chris was not an athlete. He was not very good at pickleball. But through a series of events, pickleball led to me inviting him to our house to Bible study. He said, no, I don't need any more Bible study. Well, then another gentleman we know tricked him into coming to our house one night for Bible study. And lo and behold, he got saved. He realized that everything he'd been doing his entire life, all of these religious things that he had been trying to practice, wasn't leading him anywhere because he really didn't know the God of the Bible. And so it was over a year and a half that I knew Chris before he came to my house one night, and we were doing a Bible study on covenant, which is a fancy Bible word for promise, what the promises that God makes in the Bible. And Chris turned his life over to Christ. And his life has been completely different since. He struggled with depression and anxiety before this. Now, does he still struggle with depression and anxiety? At times. But who does he call when he does that? He calls me. When I'm just struggling with depression or anxiety, who do I call? I call Chris. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, all of us are a Chris at one point or other in our life. And it's if you are a Christian and you're listening to this broadcast right now, don't take it for granted that those around you understand what you have with Christ. Take the time to get to know them and build relationships and intentionally get into the Word of God. It's not going to be a quick turnaround. We're only here for a week, right? And so we're going to hopefully talk to some people. But it's up to all of us to within our areas of life to make much of Christ.
Amen.
So there you go. Yeah. Okay. But I would love to pray for y'all. Father God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity that we have just to come to this beautiful city, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity we have just to meet people like Ross, Lord. Thank you for giving us opportunity to come and to be on the airways talking to others about what Christ means to us. But Father, right now, I specifically pray that you be with y'all, Lord. I pray that you send your spirit here, Lord, through the individuals that are here, Lord, and that you help this city to revival, Lord. I pray that you help individuals if they're struggling with depression or thoughts of suicide. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit comes right now and that he brings peace and comfort and understanding. Father, I thank you for this radio station that's allowing us to have these few moments on air to share the message of Christ. And Father, I just pray again that you be with this city, this county, and this country, Lord. May it be a light that shines forever for you. We love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wide awake while the world is sound asleep, and too afraid of what might show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. And every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories that somehow never leave you. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. 'Cause there's a kind of love that God only knows.
There's a kind of love that there's a kind of love.
You keep a cover over every single secret. So afraid if someone saw them they would leave. Somebody, somebody, somebody sees you. Somebody, somebody will never leave you.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say.
I'm
misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? We could start over. We could start over. Oh, for the lonely, for the ashamed, the misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? We could start over. We could start over.
There's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. 'Cause there's a kind of love that God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. 'Cause there's a kind of love that God only knows.
There's a kind of love. 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 God only knows where to find you. God only knows how to break through. God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.